This episode of the Rotating Heroes podcast is brought to you by Force of Extinction. This is a 12-sided studio's original TTRPG where you are going to be placed into an overgrown and wild version of Earth where humans are bottom of the food chain. This is your favorite B-movie. Think Godzilla or King Kong, and you are playing the daring action hero who's staring death in the eye and immediately getting squashed. But fear not, there are mechanics for resurrection. It is a great time. This is a game that we have been working on over at 12 Sided Studios for quite some time now. We are incredibly happy with how it's turned out, and we really cannot wait for you folks to get your hands on it. So please, if this sounds appealing to you as something like you would enjoy, then go and check out the Backer Kit page. That is Force of Extinction. Just search Force of Extinction on Backer Kit, or check out the notes in the description below and you will find a link to where you can go and join right now. And if you do a pre-pledge, which is, I believe, like something like $2, you will also receive an exclusive D20 when you pledge on the actual Backer Kit. Thank you so much. I hope that you enjoy checking that out. It's a really, really cool TTRPG. And not only is it really, really cool, it takes literally 5 minutes to explain to someone and to start playing. It's so, so simple and so enjoyable. So for all you forever GMs out there and all your players saying they don't have time to figure it out and learn the rules, etc., just tell them, hey, go get Force of Extinction and we can start playing in 10 minutes. It's a great time and I really can't wait for you to check it out. Okay, bye for now. Rotators, we're back again with another episode of the Rotating Heroes podcast. I hope that you're doing so unbelievably well. I am very excited for you to listen to the rest of this arc. I had such a great time with this wonderful crew, and I hope that you're having a great time too. Just quickly, whilst we're here, I wanted to go ahead and plug Force of Extinction. You may have already heard an advert for it, so I apologize if you have, but we are just having a great time making this TTRPG. It's so much fun. We're going to be playing some on the Rotating Heroes feed sometime soon, and it means a lot to me. This is the first sort of dabble into this kind of creation before, And it would mean a huge amount if you could go and check out the Backer Kit page. You can do right now if you wish to. But we appreciate you being here nonetheless, and we're going to go ahead and get right on into it. So take it away past me.
Can I just do like a quick spool back to see how much time has passed? Like, has it been days? Like,
so you... And the reading that you get back, or the time span that it takes for you to rewind back is about 24 hours of sort of darkness, essentially.
Okay.
Until you get until you hit an image again.
Well, we were out for a while.
What do you see?
Well, there's nothing for 24 hours.
And then after 24 hours, you look back. You see a flash. The whole screen is like this sort of white, this like gold white light is filling the entire screen. And as you scrub back through, that light recedes and recedes. Back from Ember's hand, you watch as Ember's hand sort of twists back down onto the table. And there is an indentation in Ember's forearm. Almost like an invisible indentation, as though there is four fingers and a thumb gripping onto Ember's arm, but it's completely invisible to you. And as you follow the sort of scene upwards, you just see a singular purple eye up near the top. You see Brian's attention immediately is snaps to Hubert as he sort of comes back up from the table, and there is this moment as though there was a glitch in the Matrix where you see people suddenly swap places on the table, but it's like a single frame and it takes you like a good 30 seconds of like trying to pause it in the right place to get this one frame. And you see again that singular purple eye appears in that one frame. I say with a 10, that's all you're going to see for now.
Yeah, that's pretty generous on a 10, I'm not going to lie.
Any insight?
Yeah. Can I sort of just show them what I've what I've seen?
Yeah, you can scrub so, through and see.
And yeah, right?
What is that? I don't remember. I don't remember feeling anything. Are there any marks on my arm?
Are there any marks on your arm now?
Yeah, like
nope. And I'm gonna say, as you go to scrub back through a third time, I'm gonna say this is the sort of drawback of the 10.
Mm-hmm.
The footage is different. It cuts off pretty much right after Hubert collapses, and there is a shot, it seems like, of Brian collapsing, but that wasn't there before.
Ooh.
No. What's going on? What's wrong with the footage?
All right. So, what was the eye behind? Is that another one of the crew members? Is that
This is the thing. I said I was trying to get it out of the tree because the tree wasn't doing right. The tree was having weird dreams, right?
Right.
So then I found it up the tree, and then it was just this like thing. When I tried to remove it, it was like blacker than black, and then suddenly, whoop, purple eye.
Wait, it was in the tree and you took it out?
I tried. So that moment that we saw that now isn't the same, I was up in the tree with it.
Sprocket, you don't know how to fix my hand, do you?
No.
Do you mind if I have a cheeky look?
No, yeah.
Ember, you feel a strange compulsion to move your hand in the same way that you did in that you saw happen in the video.
It was so weird. I just moved my hand just like this.
And as you say, it was so weird, I saw my hand move just like this, there is the briefest pause, and you hear Ember say,
"It was so weird. I just moved my hand just like this."
Whoa! I fall out of Ember's embrace because she's let go.
I hear myself say it.
You just say it again, but you don't move your hand this time. But for everyone else, you see Ember say it, and it's like everything kind of glitches for a second. Like the dust particles in front of your eyes kind of reset back, and Ember says the exact same line again, but just doesn't move her hand. So, what would the group like to do? Hubert is sort of honouring the sidebar, which I think has, you know, happens quite a lot on the ship. So he's just happily sort of chowing down on a whole pumpkin, whilst you three are sort of engaged in this sort of sidebar conversation.
Guys, I'm going to go find something to wrap my hand up. I'll be right back. I don't feel right about this.
I've got gaffer tape.
Oh, tape?
Yeah. You know, like a bandage.
Yeah. I don't want anything to happen to y'all if I'm messing with it near you, you know? I was just going to...
I got some Febreze and some legally distinct spray as well.
Okay, yeah, maybe you want to disinfect it real quick?
Yeah, no, sure. I'm just kind of opening up a little, basically, door just underneath his dungarees, just reaches into his chest and brings out just a couple of spray. And you see that there are quite a few in there. It's probably the main reason he rattles as much as he does when he walks. But you can see a number of different sort of sprays and capsules and sort of flea repellents and the like. But he reaches out and just sort of gives a little on your hand, and there we go. It's usually for surfaces, but, you know, wipe it down.
Yeah, okay, thanks. Jasper, it doesn't hurt or anything, right? Like, I don't feel...
No, but you can feel, like, you can feel in the crevices.
Yeah, if I stick, like, my finger in there.
Yeah, you can feel it. Like, you can feel as though there is a divot in your hand.
But not, like, open flesh or anything like that. It's not...
But it doesn't feel like open flesh at all. Yeah. It just seems to go down into a slightly sort of golden abyss. Like, you just can't see sort of where your hand begins again. It's as though the sort of material of your hand just isn't there, but the composition of your hand doesn't suffer because of it. As you're just having this conversation, you see that Mother walks out of the room carrying some big pots of pans. She carries a tray of food. She sort of looks around, sees everyone, shakes her head a little bit, and then walks back into the kitchen. In fact, I'll say, Ember, you're the one that really picked up on that, because it was like the exact thing that she did earlier.
Yeah, she already... I already helped her load in those pans. Oh, gosh, did we... I feel like someone's hitting restart.
Okay, so weirdly, I have a lot of sort of experience with turning off and on again. But with that, that kind of looks like, I don't know, occasionally I get like glitches, and I know other like folk like me, especially Adar class robots, they tend to, you know, occasionally they judder and they find themselves kind of like looping a little bit. I don't know if there's anything like that. I'm not presuming that I know anything about you living flesh and blood types, but, you know, I don't know if there's anything there, but...
I'll be honest, it's really hard for me to tell. Recently, it's been really hard for me to tell when things are out of place.
Little guy, you said that you saw a purple eye, so we all saw that in my memory, but you said you saw that at a tree, right?
Yeah, the tree. I was hired to fix it, and I'll be honest with you, I still don't know if I have. So my first protocol was I was going to go have a look, see if it's still up there, and see how the tree's doing.
Okay, well, you need company, and he looks towards Ember and the hand, and just, I don't think that we should necessarily be leaving folks alone, but hey, you do what you want.
No, I mean, we can all go together if you want.
I didn't say I wanted that, but sure, I'll come along. And he stands a little to attention and then kind of slumps a little bit and then back up. He's kind of like unsure what to do with his metal body language.
Yeah, no, we should stick together because, like, then we can tell each other what we remember and make sure we don't have any more gaps, you know what I mean?
Yes. No, that's a great idea, and we can hold each other accountable, and, we should make sure that we, have each other's backs, you know?
I delete the screenshot.
You delete it?
Yeah. I hear the words, make sure everyone's accountable. I'm like, oh, I could get rid of that.
No.
Sprocket, take me up, man.
All right, here we go. I want to hinge up one of my horns, have a little rummage, pull out my best, most sterilized gaffer tape.
Ha! Roll me a straight d20.
Five.
Not very sterile. Covered in an unguent, actually.
Oh.
It's thermal paste. So it'll make your circuits run quicker.
I trust you.
Thanks, Emma. Tape.
Okay, great. As long as I can still hold my sword, that's all that matters.
Okay. So the three of you are going to journey up to the top deck.
Mm-hmm.
Great. As you do, can I ask each of you to roll me a d20?
I rolled a 5 again.
I rolled a 9.
I rolled a 19.
So, you all make your way up to the top deck and you see this beautiful, resplendent tree. You can see just behind it, there is the sort of navigational wheel, which you all know is largely... for decoration, as the navigator lives and exists sort of in the roots of this tree. And there is something that catches your eye immediately, and I won't make you roll a perception check for this. There is a little, seemingly, about halfway up, a cage, a little bird cage. And coming from it, you can just hear a voice. Hello? Hello? Please, there must be some misunderstanding. hello, somebody, hello. At the base of the tree, you see there is Vane and Vale. Vane and Vale are two twins who are relatively new to the ship. They, much like you, Ember, were hired as hired muscle. And Vale sort of leans forward and goes, don't talk to him, okay? We think he might be a vampire. That's why he's able to just be ahead.
Wait.
But I've been told strict instructions. No one's allowed to go near him because he might have beguiling ways. Beguiling ways. The other one sort of chimes in.
Wait, did you say it was a bird that's in the cage, though?
It's like a bird cage. It looks like a bird cage.
Oh, but it is a head that's in there.
Well, you can't really... You're, like, kind of looking up from, like, the bottom, essentially, but you can just hear this voice kind of coming from it, yeah.
I see. Well, hold on. Is that Lucian up there?
I don't know what a Lucian is, but all I know is that's a vicious monster, and we've caught it, okay? So, you're all welcome for keeping you all safe, okay?
Now, hold on.
But just don't listen to him, because we're immune, you see, to its delicate tones,
okay.
You might not be.
Okay, all right. I get it. You were hired on to protect us. Well, some of us were also hired to do something quite similar, okay? Just saying.
Oh. You were, okay.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, that's right.
Totally
that's
normal.
Right.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you're saying there's a head in that cage?
Yes. There's a head in that cage.
That's my friend. That's my friend.
And then you see the twins look to each other. Oh, actually, sorry. Johnny, roll me a d12 and a d4.
Oh, no.
Why did you have to remember?
It's so funny because all the audience knows this is like a silly thing that's not serious at all.
Oh, and we're like...
The D12 is a 5, which is my third straight 5, and the D4 is a 1.
Oh, okay, cool. So Vayne and Vale are Goliaths. They are very tall dudes.
Mm.
Actually, in fact, that means Vayne and Vale should probably be like, so the thing is, we have actually been told to, you know... got this, and I realized that... We'll say this is the other brother. We'll say Vayne has got this accent. Don't ask how we ended up with different accents. It's very confusing. But listen, you say he's your friend?
Yeah.
We should probably have Medic take a look at your brain, because he already probably infiltrated it with his spicy little words.
No way, he wouldn't do that.
Yes,
that's
probably already done
no
that.
No way.
Yes.
No, there ain't nothing wrong with my brain.
Is there any hazy memories, any weird happenings in the last 24 hours? Hmm? That's what I thought. That's the problem.
No, there's been weird happenings for more than 24 hours, so... Actually...
Well, maybe he has been on the ship longer than you think. Maybe that's what is it. Maybe you don't even know how you got on this ship. That's right, maybe she doesn't even know how she got on this ship.
I do, though, which is how the head got on as well. We're kind of like a package kind of thing.
Oh no, head got you too, huh, friend? I'm so sorry. It is a tough time to be on board the ship. Crazy goings on. Yes, very crazy goings on. Hmm.
No, I'm good. The little horny guy can attest to that.
Please don't call me that.
Sorry, I did not see little horny one back there. Hello, friend. Sorry.
Please don't call me that.
Hey, his name is Sprocket.
Yeah, the little colonel one.
Little horny Sprocket. Got it.
Please don't call me that.
Sprocket, you just tell me. Sprocket, you just let me know and I'll take him out.
Oh, sorry, don't worry about it.
Okay,
okay. It's not worth it. Thank you, I appreciate it.
So anyway, you should probably make way because this guy is getting a little agitated and I don't want him to suddenly start, getting all kind of crazy and doing crazy stuff with you and making you go weird because you've already been enraptured by his beauty and crazy voice sounds.
Quick question. What makes you think you haven't been enraptured?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Hey? Hey? What if you've gone all head weird, and we're the ones here to sort it out.
Yeah.
We were selected because we are impervious to that stuff.
Why? How? What? Too tall?
Because we share a psychic link, so we know if one of us is being tampered with.
Sounds like hooey.
Go ahead and roll me a persuasion check, please, Sprocket. As you try to plant the seed of doubt in Vayne and Vale's mind.
Can I assist?
25.
Oh, heaven. I don't even need to assist.
You're good.
Num, 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 num.
Well, it is that... Wait, hold on. I feel like Psychic Link hasn't felt as been as strong recently. Yes, well, I was thinking the same, but that's not really the point.
What if one of you can only lie and the other one can only tell the truth?
Well, if that was to be the case, I would be the one who always tells truth.
You sure about that?
Well, I doubt that very much, because I am the truthful one here. Wait, you haven't been lying to me, have you? What? I would never lie to you. This is preposterous.
Ooh, fellas, sounds like you need to get to medbay.
Vayne punches Vale in the face.
Oh!
While they do this, can I climb this tree?
Yeah, absolutely. I knew it. I knew that you was the one lying to me. What if you're not even my brother? What if we just happen to be two dudes who look kind of the same, and you have been lying to me this whole time? We don't even have same accent. It's very confusing. I told you, that's because Mother sent us away. Ah!
¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Yeah. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. Yeah. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.
Anyway, as that conversation slowly fades out, you are able to climb up the side of the tree, where you find poor old Lucien on his side, just ahead, in a birdcage.
Buddy!
Oh! Oh, thank goodness.
What happened?
What happened? I was really hoping that you would have the answer for that one.
Okay, you know, they suggested that you kind of messed with our heads. Did you do that, Lucien? Did you do that? Look me in the eyes now.
Well, that is sort of a thing that I have done previously, but I do not think I did it to you. But here's the thing. I can smell, I can taste that I have been asleep for like a week and a half, at least.
A week and a half? No, we just saw you yesterday.
Yes. No. Week and a half. And I don't know how, and I don't know why. So maybe... did we get really drunk or something? And then maybe I tampered with your head? Ugh. I don't know. I just can't recall. You know? Did we get blackout drunk? Did we?
For a week, Lucien?
Yeah. It takes a lot for me to get drunk. I'm a vampire. So when I go, I really go. You know what I mean? It's sort of, you know.
Anyway, let's get you down.
Yes, I didn't even know I could get drunk anymore, being just a head. It's been a while since... anyway. Oh, please don't tell your friends, by the way, about the whole... vampire thing.
Oh,
are we still doing that?
Oh,
yes.
Oh, the secret still. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, we have that. You know, and then the other thing that we talked about with you.
Well, yeah. No, I mean, well, that was just gibberish coming out of your mouth. Honestly.
Yeah, that's complete nonsense. Yes, yes.
Okay.
Oh, hello there, dear friends.
Found him.
Sort of, Rust Bucket. Good to see you. Good to see that you're still alive. Pleasure.
Well, yeah, no, I'm technically never dead. So, yeah, no, I'm here. Taking great care of me, and you're in a cage. So,
yes, I am in a cage.
Oh yeah, do you want out of the, here? How about I just wrap you up?
I'll be honest, it makes little difference. So, if the cage is easy to carry, go for it.
I just don't like the message it sends.
Oh, I don't really feel like vampire.
What?
I am a marginalized type, so I don't really feel like it sends a message. It's fine.
I don't think you need to be marginalized for it to look bad to have a head in a cage.
They're looking at me funny.
Yeah, what was the thing you just said?
I sneezed. I have allergies.
No, I'm pretty sure that wasn't a sneeze.
That's you!
We can run it back from his brain if you want.
Oh, yeah, we can do that. Sprocket is very good at that. And looking towards Sprocket is one of his bulb eyes just, like, goes blank and then up again as he gives a little bulby wink.
No, okay, fine. Listen, please, gather in, friend. Look, I'm sorry. The reason I'm still alive is because I'm a vampire. Now, it's not all bad. It's not like, you know, we're all just the worst kinds of people, you know? But I'm just trying to keep it, you know, on the up and up.
That's fine. That's what we thought you said.
Yeah.
Oh, right. So you already kind of knew.
Well.
And you didn't have a problem with it?
No, I've seen Twilight.
Oh, that film has set us back a millennia, my friend. Honestly, I wish I could just get in there and rewrite it, you know, or reshoot, you know, just or even an edit would be nice, you know, because our skin doesn't do that.
Hey, I'm gonna strap you onto my torso.
Yes, if you wouldn't mind keeping me in the shade, yeah, that would be wonderful. Thank you so much.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Oh.
I'm gonna go have a look up this tree. Can I cast Levitate on myself?
Whoa.
Absolutely, you can cast Levitate on yourself.
I guess half sheepishly, I just sort of start levitating up the tree because I did not need a boost, remember, at all.
Oh, Sprocket? Wait, hold on.
Oh, sorry, I can't hear you. I'm busy.
Oh, look, the gravity must have reversed on him somehow. Yes.
Up I go to where the thing was.
And are you looking for the same sort of empty space?
Yeah.
You find it. There is an empty hollow in the tree which contains a very strange, odd blackness. But there is something different. Around the outside of this sort of knot in the tree where this blackness presides, there is a strange metal substance. It seems to be just lining it. Embryum seems to be very slowly replicating itself in and outside of this knot.
I'd like to get my snout as close to it as possible and just kind of have a really good sniff and see if it smells like cheese pizza.
Yes, go ahead and roll me a perception check.
18.
With an 18, you get the unmistakable whiff of cheese pizza.
Mm-hmm.
You also, having cast Levitate on yourself, get a strange sort of unsettling feeling of being in zero G. You feel sort of untethered from the ship for a second. And you can't help but feel a very similar feeling to how you felt in your dream just last night.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, there is something here to fix. And if you do not fix it, everyone is going to die.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no pressure, dude.
Mm-hmm. All right.
How's it going up there?
I found the missing goop from Brian's head.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah. I'm not going to touch it just yet.
Can you roll me intelligence, please, Sprocket? This is a very, very high DC. I'm just going to see if Sprocket's can put this together.
Plus zero on intelligence. Here we go. Baby. Four.
Here's what I'll give you the four. Dr. Kova might be able to make heads or tails of some of this.
You couldn't grab me Dr. Kova real quick, could you?
Yeah, sure. We can go grab her.
Oh, seeing as there's a little bit of me up there, I'll stick around with the little guy. You got someone to look after you. I'll look after Adonis.
Oh yeah, I got Lucian here with me.
You see that Vane stands up and goes, "Well, okay. Do you want me to go get Dr. Kova? My brother is knocked out."
Correctly. Oh.
Oh yeah.
I won, obviously.
Yeah, that'd be great. Could you go get her?
Yeah, no worries. Okay, I'll be back in 2 seconds. Okay, bye.
Wow, he's actually real chill, actually. Pretty cool guy.
It was my brother who was an asshole. Don't worry. He sort of lumbers off, big heavy footsteps on the deck of the ship. And maybe 15 minutes go by. No Dr. Kova and no Goliath.
Damn, you think you got stuck in the toilet?
Or, I mean, you saw what happened to the chef earlier. Maybe, I don't know.
Stuck in a loop?
Well, I don't know, maybe, but, And he looks up towards where Sprocket is and back to Ember and... Hey, what's his deal?
What, Sprocket?
Yeah, no, just, I don't know, just... Seems like a nice guy.
Yeah, he's real nice. He's super nice, real smart... Real good at fixing things. Wanted to help you right away. He's got these real cool horns, and he looks awfully soft. And in fact, he is pretty soft. That's why I want to lift him earlier.
Yeah. I'm gonna go up and see if I can help him. Especially seeing as you know, it's my brain. So.
Do you have doubts, Brian?
Doubts? No. Just you know, you're a good judge of character, so.
Oh, sure. I've heard that before. Okay, yeah, getting up there.
Do I sense something in there?
Roll me an insight check.
That's a 19.
Does he sense anything, Ember?
You sense, 19's pretty good. You sense that she is very insightful, but she doesn't always share what she's thinking.
Brian nods. He knows a little bit of that. As he just looking at Ember, just, hey, my limbs aren't what they used to. You mind giving me a boost?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Let me give you a little lift up here. There you go.
Oh, there goes one of my toes. Okay, you can keep that. Okay.
Dexterity save, please, Brian. See how whole you are by the time you get to Sprocket.
That's an 8.
Yeah, you are without sort of your bottom half.
I'll catch whatever drops.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, there's another one. Oh.
Yeah, you just sort of get two legs and a sort of bit of a sort of pelvis-related sort of object. Yes, that's the word I was looking for.
Hey, while I'm down here, I'll see if I can fashion the objects that have fallen into like a little weird amalgamation of a body and stick Lucin's head on it.
Go ahead. Go ahead and roll me a sleight of hand check. Okay. And we'll see how sort of well you can keep this stuff together whilst also like keeping it in like a usable sort of function, essentially.
That's a 17 on the die, so it's a 27.
Yeah! Whoa!
Okay, yeah. You sort of plug Lucian into the sort of pelvis area of what was of Brian, and Lucian's just hopping around like a little head with legs, just like, wow. Whoa! This is, oh, wow, this feels good. Oof, wow. As we smash cut to a deep, dank dungeon where there is currently a number of vampires presiding over the sort of body, torso, arms, legs of Lucian, suddenly aghast as legs and start flying and kicking, just like kicking them in the head, etc. And they're like, hold him down! As his sort of phantom limbs then start, like,
Jesus.
He remembers the sensation. Wonderful. Yeah, he's just running. He's just doing laps of the deck right now. He's so pumped to have limbs again. Freedom! Freedom!
Get that energy out.
I needed this so much. Marvelous. What are you two up the tree going to do?
Brian, have you ever seen a Minotaur trying not to hyperventilate?
Buddy, I've never even seen a Minotaur.
Sprocket's kind of just sitting cross-legged because levitate wore off, just sort of staring, like unblinking, just at the scene in front of him and just trying not to panic.
You'd see as this horrific image of this torso just dragging itself up the tree, leaving just stains of rust all along its bark, just and just like slowly bringing himself up over the top.
Yo, Horndog, how you doing?
Oh, hey, mate. I thought I heard half of you coming up.
Yeah, no, I was trying to be quiet, not disturb you or anything, but how are you looking up here?
Well, not great. I'm not sure what's going on with this, and I think it's quite critically important to all of us, vitally, you might say, and I don't know if I can fix it.
Oh, well, Ember down there thinks she can. She was like, just come up and hold any tools or anything like that, because, yeah, you got it well in hand.
Well, that's nice.
Could I please ask Brian, as you get up there, can you make me a constitution saving throw, please?
Natural 20.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Natural 20.
25 in total.
You have no idea how good, how important that was. So, as you climb up there, Brian, and you're having this conversation, Sprocket,
mm-hmm.
Your eyes, if it's possible, widen. Your eyebrows, possibly now completely ignoring the effects of gravity as they rise so far off of your head. As from the knot, and I imagine Brian sort of looking at you and side on, sort of ignoring everything that's happening inside of the knot itself.
Yeah.
You watch as Embryum, as though a living thing, starts to sort of reach out towards the knot as from the knot the same thing. And when the two meet, Brian's head kind of jolts to the side really quickly, but he snaps it back, and you see all of the embryum that was surrounding the knot suddenly is like subsumed back into Brian's head. And as that happens, you watch as Ember down on the deck, and I think that you all probably would notice this, Vale, the brother, seems to glitch and is now stood looking over the deck of the ship. And he's like, whoa, what the hell just happened? That is weird. Hey, you're one of the new ones, Ember, right?
What are you doing? Wait, you were just...
Yes, sorry,
Your brother just knocked you out. What
do you mean my brother doesn't... Don't be ridiculous, he wouldn't do that. Listen, I'm feeling a little bit funny. You know after that, you know that ship that just... You know how Bugsley came over and the head dropped?
Yeah.
And then ever since that happened, I've been feeling a little strange.
Okay, why don't you go lie down?
Yeah. Yeah, well, I just need to... I'm on rigging duty. And so I just need to make sure that this is all, you know, taken care of. And so I probably shouldn't go, but I just feel a bit...
Let me just have a look at you real quick. Did you hit your head or anything? Or
No. I've just been up here since the... When did we... And you see him sort of looking around like, how have we traveled? We've traveled... I can't even see Anvil anymore. How can I... Why can't I see Anvil anymore? Anvil was just there. And he's going to roll a constitution saving throw. You see his nose starts to bleed a little bit. And he... Oh, I don't... What?
You all right, buddy?
Yes, Anvil was just there. Bugsley arrived. There was a head and a broken robot. And then I saw... Yes, Sprocket was up the tree.
Yeah. I think yes. you just got a little gap in your memory there. More time has passed, evidently.
Okay. I'm going to go and lie down and find my brother, probably.
Okay.
Cool. Yeah, this is fine. And you see that he begins to sidle off.
Lucien! Come here, boy.
Hello. Sorry, okay. I was just doing a little sprint. Yeah, that was weird, by the way. Did you see how he just went from one place to another place? It was really weird.
Okay, yeah, you saw that too.
Yes, 100%, yeah. He looked less tired as well. It was crazy. Like he'd sort of... I don't know. This is strange, isn't it? Doesn't it feel kind of strange? And Lucien shouts up the tree. Did you guys do anything weird? What just happened?
Yeah, what are you doing up there?
Did you feel that?
Whoa! It's like my sinuses just got suddenly real blocked. Whew.
Aldia, a lot of embryum just left the tree and went into Brian.
What?
Actually, can I just really quickly ask what all of your passive perceptions are?
10.
11.
19.
19. Okay, Ember. You 100%... Okay, so, with a passive perception of 19, you remember, as this is all happening, Vale was stood looking over the edge of the ship when you went downstairs to go and sit at that table when everything started to unravel. Like, he was stood in the pretty much the exact same place that you last remember seeing him, right before the blackout... And waking up in the bed and all of this kind of weird stuff.
Okay. Which is when Sprocket was in the tree. Was going.
Which is when Sprocket was up the tree. Yeah.
Sprocket. I feel like when you mess with the tree and whatever's in it. You said the embryum just moved. I feel like you mess with the tree. You mess with, I don't know, time and space.
Yeah, it's starting to feel that way, isn't it?
Yeah. Should we just test it out real quick?
I can do it again if you want.
Yeah, just mess with the tree once more, and I'm gonna juggle while you do it.
Yeah, listen, whatever keeps your mind off it.
What are you juggling?
Bits of Brian.
Bits of Brian. Well, I got a couple daggers in Lucien's head or something.
Great. I'm going to need equally important rolls then. One for juggling, straight acrobatics, and I guess Sprocket, what are you doing?
So, if memory serves, when I was interacting with the thing in the tree before, I was trying to kind of like grab onto it and almost like untwist it and pull it out.
Yep.
I guess I want to reverse that movement.
Okay. What's Brian doing?
He just leans across to Sprocket and, hey, let me give you a hand. And just pops an arm off and hands it over to Sprocket to help him.
Okay. So you're going to give a hand, literally?
Literally.
Okay. Marvelous. In which case, I'm going to need a straight roll, please, from you, Ember, to straight acrobatics, to juggle.
How do we feel about sleight of hand?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that probably makes more sense than acrobatics, honestly. So go for it.
Great.
You're trying to conceal which one's the head for all of the people who put money on it. Which one's the head?
Which one's the head?
Pick an object.
And Sprocket, I'm going to need you to roll an arcana check, but with a disadvantage.
What? Because of my hand?
Yeah.
What?
Well, okay. So, restore balance. When a creature you can see within 60 foot of you is about to roll a d20 with advantage or disadvantage, I can take a reaction to prevent the roll from being affected by advantage and disadvantage. I can use this feature 4 times per long rest.
Can you use that on yourself, or does it specifically say...
I'm a creature I can see.
I'll allow it.
Sprocket sees himself in Brian's bulb eyes.
I'd be like, oh, thank you so much, Brian. That's really useful.
Straight roll, then.
All right. 19.
Do you want all our rolls?
Oh, yes. Sorry, what did we get for sleight of hand? Not that that wasn't as important. I was just distracted for a second.
16 sleight of hand. And to be clear, I'm trying to like do really big, like throwing them up really high in the air because I want to see if something gets affected in time and place.
Yeah, sure. You see, Sprocket, as you reach in, a dagger gets dangerously close as someone below you seems to be juggling daggers and a head. so very helpful. With a 19... That is a failure.
Yeah, there was something about the way you said it. No, it went into Brian then.
There was something about the way you said it, mama.
It's the arm that you're holding just goes, it's just something in the way you said it. It sort of does like a little puppet hand thing. I'm going to need each of you to make me a D100 roll.
Oh, God. Oh, no. That doesn't feel good.
That feels very bad.
And just because I love and will always embrace the chaos, I'm going to let you tell me in what order you would like these rolls to be put into. So no, I'm just going to give an example here. Let's say Ed rolls a 31, Josephine rolls a 29 and Johnny rolls a 100. You could say, right, we're going to put the 100 first.
Oh.
Then we're going to put Ed's 31 here, and then we're going to put...
Okay.
Do you see what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah, but we just don't know what they mean.
But you don't have any context for it.
I'm no, just we giving don't. You, yeah, great.
Yeah.
That's upsetting.
I've rolled a 21.
I've rolled 66.
I've rolled a 17.
Okay. In what order would you like to...
Do we think lowest to highest or highest to lowest? Good God, I don't know.
Or middle first.
Yeah, middle first.
Yeah.
Jasper will never expect it.
Middle, then low, then high?
Yeah. Mid, low, high.
So, I'm going to give you for free this piece of information, Sprocket. You reach in, you get that same sensation of sort of pressure in and around your hands. And it's all going fine. You feel as though you're able to sort of reach out or you're trying to make some sort of connection to this thing, though you feel like you could not leave your hands in there for very long. And it all goes wrong when you notice that from the mechanical arm that is also now in the knot of the tree which you're holding onto, a little sprig of Embrium leaps off and into the void, and the second that that Embrium makes contact with this black hole in the tree, everything begins to change. You find yourself still on a tree, but as you blink for just a fraction of a second, the ship underneath you is gone. There are tall, almost cave-like walls either side of you, with holes dug into them, and you realize these are actually windows. As you look down, you see Ember, still juggling, though probably about to drop something. There's cobbled streets, and there is a thick, very, like, the atmosphere is, like, thick and dusty. As you look through these windows and down what appears to be this sort of sunken street, you realize you're in an ancient place, a huge place. The doors, the windows, everything about this sort of odd sunken place is larger than you. Like it was built for a creature or creatures much, much larger than you. The three of you are in this space. Well, four of you, if you include Liz, and maybe three and a half, are in this space. And you notice a little ways off, the street seems to, there's like a point in the street where it seems to mirror itself, and there's another tree, and sat in the tree there is another small minotaur, there is another little robot, and there is another individual juggling a head and some daggers. And you see that they seem to perceive you, as all three of them, in a dead sprint, run at you. And I'm going to need everyone to roll initiative.
Oh my god! Oh shit.
7.
10.
17.
Sprocket.
Uh-huh.
What's your initiative modifier?
My initiative modifier is +6.
Oh wow.
Lovely. That's a 21.
Oh my god, no.
Oh no! Oh no, I know where you are.
Ember, what's your initiative modifier?
+4.
Wonderful, that's a 16.
Oh no.
He's got access to our character sheets. Delete them. Delete them.
I've already made copies. No! Brian, what's your initiative modifier?
+3.
Wonderful, that's a 12.
Oh my god.
As this seemingly combat begins, as you unmistakably, knowing yourselves, you know what you about to attack someone looks like. You know the look in your face, you know the stance that you take up. You look down, and I'm going to say, Ember, you notice this most clearly. There is some light that spills into this place from some crystals that are built into the ceiling of this place, and it sort of emanates a very low and dull kind of warm glow. You notice your shadow sort of extends out behind you, detaches itself, seems to beckon you, and then runs away.
Whoa, some Peter Pan shit.
You notice the same thing happens to the shadow of your two compatriots, as the three of you now find yourself without shadows. And that is where we're going to go ahead and end this episode of the Rotating Heroes podcast.
I hate that. I hate that.
Spooky. What a spooky episode, Jasper.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys. Like I said, I planned this when I was tired. So, you know, we're getting weird. We're getting weird with this arc. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What happened to the hee-hee-ha-has? That was like a, ah.
No, it's just, yeah, it's just he now. There's no ha. Mm. You know? Well, Thank you so much, everyone, for coming. If you want to hear us discuss this creepy little episode, then you'll have to come back and listen to the Ark Bark, which will be re-releasing next week. But before we get the heck out of here, Johnny Chiodini, where the heck can people find more of your brilliant stuff?
You can find me on youtube.com/Johnny Chiodini. You can find me on youtube.com/OxVenture, which is me running a lot of D&D stuff and playing some other games. Also, you can find me on a little channel called Brick Rolling, which is something my friend runs. It's a game of Quest, the lovely RPG, but we play using a famous Danish interlocking brick system. It's very cute. It's extremely low budget, but it's very good fun.
Love it. Ed Spence, what about you? What wonderful stuff you got going on?
Oh, well, you can find me under my professional and legal name, Edward Spence, everywhere on Instagram, on Blue Sky, on everywhere. And you can find me every Tuesday over at the Wounded Warrior Project, where we raise money for veterans and their families through role-playing. We are in the middle of Paradise Lost, which is our Electric State season. We're in our second season of that. And then at the end of the year, we will be embarking upon our third and final chapter of the Fourth Age, our imagined next chapter in the history of Middle-earth, which the wonderful Jasper William Cartwright is in as well.
It's the best time. It really is, like, the best time. It's just, every time I play with Ed, it's just me and Ed getting to absolutely go off on all of our Lord of the Rings fantasies, and it's truly amazing. Like, we have so much fun. There's, like, a whole, there's one bit I still think about, and I'm not joking, I think about this every week. Like, at some point during the week, I will think about, there's a moment where I was a badass elf, and I'm, like, trying to show down with this dude in the middle of a cave, and it's the sickest thing that I've ever roleplayed. It was so cool.
Wow.
And I think about it all the time.
Hell yeah.
So if you want to find out what the hell that is, go listen to The Fourth Age, because it's dope as hell. Josephine McAdam, what awesome stuff you got going on?
Hi. Well, the easiest way to keep up is, of course, you know, follow on social media at JCVIM on all the platforms. But coming up, I'm doing the No Rules Barred live tour.
Hell yeah.
In London on the 12th at the Bloomsbury Theatre. And also, I'm doing a staged reading of a play called Nimrod on the 16th and 17th at the Union Theatre in London. With Kirsten Vangsness and Tom Lank and a bunch of wonderful folks. And it is a comedy play about an imagined end to Trump's presidency, written in verse.
Wow!
And it's ridiculous, and I'm playing Blandon, a.k.a. Steve Bannon.
Amazing.
Yeah, hope to see people there.
It's so wild how terminally online you have to be these days, because you just had three British people laugh because they know exactly who Steve Bannon is. We shouldn't know who Steve Bannon is, you know what I mean? Like, that's how scary the world is that we feel like we have to know who Steve Bannon is. Horrifying. Anyway, if you want to find more stuff that I'm doing, you can follow me at JW_Cartwright and all of the social medias, and obviously make sure to check out the Rotating Heroes Patreon. If you're not listening to this here, if you're listening to this on a public feed, then you could have got this in one glorious part rather than two glorious parts. Not only that, over on the Patreon, we have two wonderful tiers where you also get access to little bonus episodes, including Rewritten Heroes, which is our series where we look back at some of our heroes from past in Axis and Anamalar, and we ask the question, what happens if a certain event might have gone a little bit differently? And we'll probably be doing some of these folks in not too long, which will be very, very exciting, because I love doing those episodes. Other than that, make sure to check out the World's Lair mailing list, because we have just announced that we are going to be coming back very soon, which is extremely exciting. And I'm sort of twitching slightly because I'm like, we just finished and now I've got to start thinking about doing it all over again. But I'm very excited and very proud, and I can't wait to see even more folks there next year. It's going to be absolutely incredible. So make sure to come and check that out. But otherwise, make sure you check out our merch store. That's about the only one, because we just released some cool posters, and hopefully we'll have some artwork on the way for our ARC 1 rotators, and soon followed by some artwork for our ARC 2 rotators. But that is about it. Until then, I'm going to say the only thing that I can say at the end of an episode, and that is, yippee-i-oh.
Oh, yippee-i-oh. Yippee-i-oh.